You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday to all of my listeners, and thank you, as always, for tuning in, for kicking off your weekend with us and doing so in style. We have tons to get to in this next hour. We're actually going to talk to Ben Weingarten at 1:30 about media literacy in education. If you haven't heard of that before, it's the Democrats' latest scheme to try to brainwash the youth, because they haven't done that enough already, which actually brings us to the story I want to lead with this hour. And it involves TikTok. Now, yesterday we discussed how there were these hearings and the head, the CEO of TikTok, was sitting down and testifying. And you had a lot of TikTok detractors, including parents whose children had partaken in these horrible viral challenges and died or committed suicide because of the content they were served up. Just a host of really gruesome, sad things that were being being highlighted in these hearings. And it seemed like both sides of the aisle, which is not to say that just because both sides of the swamp find common ground that it's the right thing, but in this case, it did seem pretty clear that TikTok is a dangerous app. We know that it can be used as spyware from China. And the CEO's answers did not really bring me any sort of reassurance that that's not exactly what's going on. He basically was saying, like, well, that's a mischaracterization of spy. I was getting it was giving Bill Clinton, it depends what the definition of is. I just wasn't convinced that this app is warm and fuzzy and should be out there. And plus, just from my own personal experience of seeing some of these stories and reading about some of these challenges, I just look at it and I go, oof, we are already in deep trouble. And I don't know if we need this social media app / accelerator to just drive us into stupidity even further. Now, with that being said, I got good news for TikTok. TikTok has a friend in at least one Democrat, and that would be Representative Jamal Bowman. Now, if you don't know who Jamal Bowman is, I would urge you to check out a column I wrote a couple weeks ago in the Boston Herald where I actually focused. I put the spotlight on Jamal Bowman for a totally different reason. At the time, he was having some poor staffer film him package up books to send to Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. His reasoning behind this is Florida's banning books. They're not, but you know, this is a really fun narrative for the left. So he's packaging up books like White Fragility, How to Be an Anti-Racist, all of these things. And he's telling Ron DeSantis, don't get triggered. Don't get triggered, but I'm sending you these. From what we've seen, I don't think DeSantis even really goes on Twitter, so I don't know if he's even going to see this video, but I would just guess that the man who's filming himself package up books to another man in a totally different state with a totally different job, who probably doesn't even know he exists, that he might be the one in this equation who's triggered. But that's neither here nor there. So he packages up these books, he sends them to Ron DeSantis. Well, now he's got a new thing on his list of to-dos. Now he wants to defend the social media app TikTok, the Chinese spyware app TikTok, and he's taking a break from the virtue signaling poor attempts to go viral to defend this app. And I just want to point out that It's worth noting that nowhere on this list of priorities does his constituents in New York seem to fall into play. Does improving his district that has surging crime rates seem to cross his plate or cross his desk? None of that seems to matter. But these issues he takes very seriously. So with that being said, let's listen to Jamal Bowman. And this is a bold move. He's the only one who's standing up for TikTok. I want to play cut one first.
TikTok as a platform has created a community and a space for free speech for 150 million Americans and counting. That includes many of the content. That's right. That includes many of the content creators that I just met with in my office. They talk to me about a sense of family. They talk to me about a sense of community. They talk to me about a place that is helpful to their mental health and to their sense of belonging and well-being. They talk to me about finding a place where they can communicate with others like them.
Okay. Now, just a couple of things. One is that it's always refreshing to hear a Democrat support free speech. It's unfortunate that the only time this seems to happen is if China is behind it. China is the one facilitating this, and I'm using air quotes here, this free speech. The second part of it is, did he hear about the father who was there talking about how his son was served up so much suicide content that he thinks it actually contributed to his son committing suicide? Does that sound like a community that was promoting mental health? Did he just miss that? What about all these viral challenges of kids standing on cartons and doing, I don't even understand what the challenges are. What I do understand is people die from attempting them. That doesn't sound like a family that's promoting growth and acceptance. Now, the next one I want to play, because this is the last bastion, you know, this is the last refuge of a desperate Democrat. Well, there's actually a few. One of them is, say you're getting death threats, which that wouldn't make sense in this situation. So he pulls out the second one, which is racism.
Racism.
You might be thinking, how does that make sense? Well, anyone, now I guess what we're supposed to believe, according to Jamal Bowman, is that anyone who's opposing TikTok is, I guess, spreading Asian hate? Is that what I've gathered? Okay, let's play cut three.
Why the hysteria and the panic and the targeting of TikTok? As we know, Republicans in particular have been sounding the alarm, creating a red scare around China. They've been doing it in a variety of ways when it comes to economic competition, when it comes to semiconductor manufacturing, and when it comes to technology. In terms of TikTok's behavior and its risk to national security, it poses about the same threat that companies like Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Twitter pose.
Well, we seem to be pretty harsh on all of those apps. So it only seems fair that TikTok get a little extra scrutiny considering it's owned by the Chinese Communist government. It's at least run by it. It has a big hand in it.
We've had something like 19 releases about how Twitter was a threat to national security. I don't know that that's the best defense, Jamal.
Yeah. And you know what else I'd like to point out here is that trying to say that people like Eric Swalwell has spoken out against TikTok. Eric Swalwell. You know you're in a losing fight when California Congressman Eric Swalwell won't defend the Chinese spyware app, but you will. That might be a hint from the universe that you want to back away from this thing with a 10-foot pole. And he names all these things. Like, don't you think we have a little reason right now to be a little skeptical of China? We just found out that the virus that killed millions of people across the world leaked from a lab in China and that they did everything they possibly could to cover that up. Do you remember when they were locking people in their buildings during COVID? And then when the building set on fire, hundreds of people were just stuck in a building set on fire. It's not like we're dealing with a government or a regime that is the sweetest. I mean, Xi Jinping was just meeting with Putin. The Democrats are all over the map on this. But I love when he got to the real crux of the TikTok issue. This is because eventually, if you listen long enough, you can figure out why someone is taking the stance that they're taking. It doesn't usually come in the first couple of paragraphs. It comes at the end. I want to play cut six.
My concern with President Biden and the U.S. Senate, you're jumping off a cliff to ban TikTok, and we haven't even had a larger conversation around the understanding of how all this works.
What do you think happens if TikTok does get banned? People just gravitate to another platform?
Well, people will gravitate to another platform, or a new platform will be created. Mm-hmm. That's what will happen. But here's what I think we're also losing sight of. 150 million Americans are on TikTok right now. 5 million businesses are on TikTok. People use TikTok to earn a living. 150 million Americans, many of them young people, many of them tend to lean Democratic. So if the Democratic Party is a part of shutting down a platform that they have used to build community and to be in a space where they are often accepted and connected with others, in a space where they don't get that on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, it can harm us politically in 2024.
There's the rub. We found it. We got it. That's the purpose of this whole thing. This is the crux. Young people are on TikTok, and Jamal Bowman and other Democrats know that young people are gullible and that they need to exploit these young people into voting for them. We already saw this in this administration. Remember at the beginning? When gas prices were rising and the White House brought in all these TikTokers and gave them talking points that they could parrot to their millions of followers. And the TikTokers did it. They went on their little social media apps and they recorded videos saying things like, the reason gas is so expensive is because Vladimir Putin started a war. It's not because of Joe Biden. They actually did that and they got wrecked. I mean, people were like, get out of here. This is ridiculous. But Bowman, who I guess actually has quite the following on TikTok with videos like him packaging up books, I cannot see why he wouldn't. He doesn't want to lose that. It doesn't matter that parents are testifying that their kids died trying to do these stupid viral challenges, or maybe their kids were fed suicidal content, or maybe we have all these studies about young women who are depressed and have anxiety and have body image issues and are you know, again, suicidal. That doesn't matter to Jamal Bowman. What matters to politicians like Jamal Bowman is that these are users. These are voters. And as Nancy Pelosi once said, we need to capture the youth. We need to capture the voters. And that's what this is all about, is that a lot of people on TikTok are young, and a lot of these young people lean left. And a lot of these young people will consume this content without thinking twice. They'll consume all of this free speech being fed to them by China, and they won't question it. And that plays well for Jamal Bowman. He's very upset. And he says, Republicans don't like TikTok because they have no swag. This is a really bold strategy. Let's see how it works out for him. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we're going to take your calls on this. Some people want to talk about TikTok. And I want to parlay this conversation into the conversation about the parents' bill of rights that the GOP is putting forward, because this really upset Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's a very basic idea that parents should know what their kids are learning at school, should have a voice in their children's education, should have a voice in their children's safety and what's happening when they leave for the day. And for some reason, this has triggered, to use one of Jamal's favorite words, this has triggered Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We'll talk about it when we come back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
You know, Robert, I just realized something. Republicans ain't got no swag. That's why they want to ban TikTok.
Yes, that is why. Has nothing to do with the fact that it's allowing the Chinese to spy on us. It's because Republicans don't have any swag. What a interesting and well thought out criticism from Jamal Bowman. There are many non-surgical facelift methods on the market, but Dr. Curtis Birchall's methods are the very best. To get your non-surgical painless facelift, go to skindh.com and use discount code GRACEBOGO. That's skindh.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who would you rather have as a college course teacher? Dr. B, Hillary, or Elizabeth Warren?
I'm going to say Dr. B. I think she's the most relevant. I think I could get the most material out of her for perhaps a column. So selfishly, I'm going to say Jill Biden, Dr.
Si se puede!
And maybe I learn a little Spanish, so it's a 2-for-1.
Dr. B in the lead at 81%, 11% for Hillary, 9% for Elizabeth Warren.
I did want to talk about AOC and her comments on the Parents' Bill of Rights that the GOP is putting forward. But because we have so many people who want to discuss TikTok, I'm going to put this off until the 2 o'clock and we'll stick with TikTok for now. It all kind of ties in. Let's go to Ed. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show.
Thanks for taking my call, Grace. 2 years ago, I got off Facebook. I saw the writing on the wall with social media. It was horrible for fans and everything. I'm still fighting with my daughter to this day over TikTok. You know, my only daughter. I got 4 grandsons. 2 of them are on TikTok. They're all mad at me as hell because I'm standing up for the ban. And just one other thing. While I was sitting here waiting, my representative, Jared Golden,
was on Fox.
Just on Fox.
I just saw that, talking about the Maine lobsters.
I fished for 30 years, all right? He's got a lot of it right, but the one thing that really irritated me, and it's going to irritate a lot of other people, he tried to blame it on Trump. Oh, well.
Oh.
Well, the Trump administration did it, too. No, it was a bureaucracy. He had no...
Yeah,
that's
the problem. You know what, Ed, you're breaking up a little bit, but that's just, I mean... If he does,
everybody's always blaming me for everything.
If Jared Golden goes on Fox and makes too much sense, he might get kicked out of the Democrat Party. So I'm sure he threw in the it's Trump's fault just to, you know, cover his own behind. 844-500-4242. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to everyone who wants to talk TikTok. We can get back to this in the 2 o'clock. Call us back and we will go to this problem, which, you know, it's interesting to hear from people like that last caller who maybe their kids are on it or their grandkids are on it. We'll talk a little bit with Caroline about it at some point today. But coming up next, I've got Ben Weingarten, and he's going to talk about this new trend that Democrats are pushing. This new idea coming out of, it's not even new, it's actually been passed in a couple of states. It's called media literacy education. I got a lot of problems with this. I think you will too. Do not move. It's Friday, and we've got so much more to get to on the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Governor Phil Murphy signed the nation's first law mandating information literacy instruction for all K-12 students. Joining me now to talk about this is the editor-at-large at Real Clear Investigations, and he just wrote The Problematic Rise of Media Literacy Education. Ben Weingarten joins the show. Ben, thanks so much for coming on. Before we even dive into why this is a problem, can you explain what Democrats or what the left is describing this as? Like, how are they serving this up to the American people? What is their intention behind media literacy education?
Well, thanks for having me, Grace. The left, and unfortunately, I would suggest some on the right, are framing media literacy education, first of all, in context of this moral panic that has been blown, stoked, over mis, dis, and malinformation, which, as we know, itself is rooted in, originally, mis, dis, and malinformation about Trump-Russia collusion, overhyped claims that Russia swung the 2016 election, and a slew of other issues. And they've tried to link mis, dis, and malinformation to violence on the, of those on the right, and use that as a pretext, of course, to crack down on any speech that doesn't comport with speech they like. So that's the important critical context for this. And what, you know, lawmakers and librarians and teachers, who are obviously, generally speaking, on the left and are pushing these bills, suggest is that media literacy education can play an important role in helping our kids combat mis, dis, and malinformation by teaching them, they say, not what to think, but how to think, how to critically and skeptically scrutinize information and the sources that it comes from. But Governor Murphy and others have, of course, framed this in fighting against, in his words, the violent insurrection of January 6, 2021, and immediately, of course, put a political and progressive political tinge on it. And as I show in this extensive report at Real Clear Investigations, when you actually look at the roots of media literacy education and who the folks are that are its biggest champions, you realize that it could arguably be progressive from the very start and is a recipe for indoctrination, not education.
Yeah, and you just mentioned how a lot of these educators and politicians who do tend to lean left are trying to teach kids how to think critically, but they've proven over and over again that when it comes to misinformation and disinformation, they can't think critically. They've gotten it wrong so many times. So who are they to start instructing kids on what's misinformation when something that they might have told kids was misinformation 2 years ago is now a proven fact?
That's right. And many of the parents and activists who I spoke with from New Jersey and who are familiar with the bill make that very point. You know, who is Governor Phil Murphy to be talking about mis and disinformation around any of a number of issues when New Jersey has imposed gender identity instruction in curricula that many argue itself constitute mis and disinformation, when the state imposed draconian coronavirus policies that ended up, of course, being proven to have themselves been rooted in mis and disinformation. And even beyond that, as some educators, including one longtime public school teacher told me in New Jersey, told me, is that, look, kids are lacking in the most basic instruction in subjects which you need prior to being able to critically grapple with news and information sources in the first place. So as he put it, why are we talking about media literacy when we have schools across the state failing to make children literate, period, full stop? And that gets to a much more important issue of, you know, what is actually being taught in our schools in the first place before we get to critically interrogating information and looking at why one source is credible and another source isn't.
That was my favorite quote in the whole article, was from a New Jersey public school teacher who said of the state's bill, media literacy, there's no reading literacy in 80% of urban schools. Like, in other words, why don't we take this one step at a time and bite off what we can chew, because we can't even teach these kids how to read. And now we're going to start to teach them how to distinguish misinformation from disinformation from fact. It's really crazy. The other part of this I loved, Ben, is that you mentioned the burgeoning counter disinformation industry and kind of this emphasis that the left has put on this. Talk to us a little bit about what you would consider part of this counter disinformation industry.
Yeah, so the Twitter files in particular have brought into stark relief something that we've talked about on air before, which is this disinformation industrial complex that runs from the national security and law enforcement apparatus to the big tech companies to purported nonpartisan fact checkers and NGOs, who have all conspired against our First Amendment, censoring us, particularly through big tech, under the guise of defending against dangerous mis, dis, and malinformation. And of course, in practice, what that ends up as is censoring and stifling views and the individuals who espouse views that conflict with whatever the narrative is of our ruling class on a whole slew of very contentious issues that are by their nature subjective. And so I draw a link between that disinformation industrial complex and what's going on in the schools, because it's rooted in the very same philosophy that basically speech that we don't approve of is potentially harmful. And thus, the schools too have a role to play in pushing kids towards right think from wrong think, just as big tech does, as pushed by our deep state and by these so-called fact checkers and the like. So I think we may well be seeing an extension of this disinformation industrial complex rooting out wrongthink, now in K through 12 schools, taxpayer funded, and affecting our children, not just adults on social media.
Yeah, that's the part of this conversation where I want to go next, because I couldn't help but think when I was reading this, Ben, that the timing of it's pretty perfect when you think about the Parents' Bill of Rights, which just passed the House, by the way. And in this bill, they have five pillars to ensure parents have the right to have a voice in their kids' education. They're all very basic things like right to know what's being taught in schools and to see reading material. But if you look at some members of Congress, and I'm specifically going to play a cut here from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you would think that these basic things, this basic kind of allowance for parents to know what's going on in their kids' education is incredibly dangerous. I want to play this cut and get your reaction. This is AOC Cut 20.
And talking about the rights of parents in this gallery today, the National Parents Union is here saying, don't do this. I have a letter that I'd like to submit where they are asking the Republican Party to keep culture wars out of classrooms. Our children need urgent and aggressive educational solutions. The American Library Association coming out against this Republican proposal. When we talk about progressive values, I can say what my progressive value is, and that is freedom over fascism. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, time has expired.
So, Ben, if you are trying to allow parents to see what their kids are learning, that's part of the culture war. But if you are trying to push media literacy and this kind of fact-checking apparatus onto these children and into these schools, that's considered freedom. That's considered, you know, really promoting freedom in schools. I'm lost here. I'm getting two different messages.
Up is down and left is right. You know, first of all, it's funny. She raises the American Library Association. You find that they are backers of some of this media literacy education, or their affiliates are. And the ALA itself is a hard left progressive organization. I believe their president is actually an avowed socialist. Beyond that, so let's set aside the ALA for a second. The notion that it's dangerous that parents would have control over their children's education, which they are funding with their own tax dollars, by the way, is utterly outrageous. The idea that it's freedom for the state to indoctrinate your children in their chosen ideology and you to have no oversight as a taxpaying parent and as the person who the child, of course, is your pride and joy, is your everything. But no, they believe the state has the right to control your child. The state has the right to determine what your child is taught and how they're taught it, and you have no oversight over it. The working assumption is that your children belong to the state at the end of the day, not you. And by the way, we saw that when Terry McAuliffe was debating against Glenn Youngkin back in 2021, and remember, public schools and parents' oversight and control over them played a huge role in that campaign. And McAuliffe basically said, you have no right to determine what your kids are taught in school. The notion that we would outsource that to the state and teachers' unions that are overwhelmingly controlled by and in hoc to the left is utterly absurd and would be hugely detrimental to our republic. But the left cannot stand parents having any say, because that could potentially break their monopoly on the American mind, on the minds of kids. That's why it's so imperative that they keep kids out of schools, they keep parents, concerned parents, off of school boards, and that, by the way, the DOJ and FBI would go out there and pursue parents as terrorists to the extent they are impassioned about their kids' education. That was precisely why they sought to chill them And as we now know, the roots of that run deeper into the administration and a bunch of left-leaning education groups themselves, as the weaponization subcommittee in the House Judiciary Committee has shown in documents just this week.
Yeah, and you know what, Ben, I'm so glad you brought up this idea that, you know, the state or the government knows better and knows what to teach your kids more than parents do, because there's a cut that I haven't played over the last couple of days. It's a few days old, but it's a Georgia State Rep, Lydia Glaze, and I'm sure you've already heard this. She's a Democrat, and I want you to listen to what she had to say about parents, because you just mentioned how parents are paying the taxes. They should have a say in their kids' education. In some states, they're arguing that parents should even be able to take this money and decide what schools their kids go to. Now, listen to what Rep. Lydia Glaze had to say about that. Cut 26.
I see access as a problem. I see parents being able to direct their child's education, and they are already in the lower 25 percentile, meaning a lot of those parents did not finish high school and could not finish their own education. I am extremely concerned that we would put money in their hands in that entire piece of life in the hands of parents who are not qualified to make those decisions, and they don't have the money to put in the difference that their child would need to attend a private school.
You can absolutely, Ben, hear the fear in the voices of these politicians at the thought of parents having a say in what their kids are learning or where their kids are going to school.
Yeah, that's right. And there are two things that I hear when you hear that kind of rhetoric. One is they want to keep your kids trapped in a subpar indoctrination factory. And the other item that I hear is these lawmakers don't want any competition for these schools, because obviously if you can walk away with your money, that puts pressure on these schools to produce a better product that appeals more to the parents who are, again, the ones paying for it and putting their kids in these institutions and trusting these institutions to inculcate their kids and actually provide them with an education and civics and the like, which, of course, these schools oftentimes don't do. So they fear that competition. And why do they fear that competition? It will expose how subpar the education is. But again, also, these politicians are all in hoc to the public school teachers, and they're controlled, of course, by the teachers' unions, which are leftist. So they view it as, we're going to lose votes potentially and funding if we actually do what's in the best interest of our constituents, the parents and the kids who are supposed to be the future of the country. They are putting the unions over the parents and the kids, and consequently doing the entire country a disservice and undermining its long-term health ultimately.
Ben Weingarten, I love that subpar indoctrination factory. I think that's an excellent way of describing it. I could not do this piece justice on the air because there's so much that goes into this. You all need to go to Real Clear Investigations and read it yourself. I have it on my recommended reading for the day, so make sure you check that out. Make sure you follow Ben Weingarten on Twitter at BH Weingarten. We thank you so much, sir, for joining us. We hope to have you on again very soon, and we will be right back.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We're getting a lot of texts about the last segment, about parental rights and education and what parents should be able to know about what their kids are learning. We can get back to that in the 2 o'clock. Right now, though, we have a beautiful break for you because we have Caroline Levitt in the studio. And there's a reason for this. It's because we have a fabulous Cheap Bastard deal to promote. Now, Caroline, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Grace. Appreciate it.
I want to talk about what we have here because this is an unbelievable deal for people. It's the Nautical Beach Properties in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. You're someone who can talk about New Hampshire and really let people know why this is such a destination for people to travel to.
Yes, I sure can. And I can talk specifically to the Nautical Beach Properties. It is a great family-owned business in the heart of Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. They own motel rooms. They own beach homes, apartments, cottages, 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom homes, Grace, and they are offering that all. We have $100 certificates on howiecarshow.com/shop right now. You can go get them. They are selling fast, so buy them now. They are valid for 2 years, so you can plan your beach vacation for the next 2 years. Hampton Beach is amazing. The town itself has invested millions of dollars back into the beach. These properties are just a short block away from the Hampton Ballroom Casino, which I checked out their website. They are having amazing talent over the next month. So if someone wanted to use this deal, you can head up to Hampton this weekend, go see Third Eyed Blind, a great band, Chase Rice, a fantastic country singer.
I love Chase Rice.
I do too. Maybe we can go to that concert together and stay at the Nautical Beach properties, and our listeners could join us too. Journey cover band, Queen cover band. There's a lot going on in Hampton right now. Obviously, the summer is the best time to go. This offer is valid in June. It's valid in September, and again for the next 2 years. So take it while it's hot and plan your vacation. You, your spouse, your whole family. Again, you can rent an entire beach home, and this is $100 off of that stay.
Yeah, and you know what, Caroline? Now, like you just said, if someone wants to buy this right now and do something next weekend or the weekend after, this is actually my favorite time to travel, because I feel like we're all coming out of the winter. We're all a little burnt out. We all need a break.
Right.
It's before it gets super busy, and right, you can just relax and enjoy this destination that you might have never been to before.
Exactly. And as a Hampton local, because I reside in the town of Hampton, I can tell you now is actually the best time to go, because in the summer, the traffic is crazy. There's a million people from all around the country, which is great. We love our tourists and we love new customers to the town. It's great for our economic development and our businesses, all of our restaurants, amazing restaurants, live concert venues, karaoke bars, fun dance clubs, and everything in Hampton Beach. But this time of year is beautiful. The beach is stunning. It's empty. It's quiet. And so this offer is valid as soon as today. So if people go online and buy it, they can call the motel, nauticalbeachproperties.com. They are friendly staff. They're ready to pick up the phone and book the vacation. Go take a walk on the beach. And it's a great location for those that vacation up in Maine, which I know a lot of your audience does. It's right on the way. So if you want to make a pit stop on to your Maine vacation this summer or this fall, you can stop in Hampton Beach and use this deal.
All right. So it's a 2-night minimum stay required. Offer valid through 2024, not valid July through August, Labor Day weekend, or during Hampton Beach Seafood Festival. Offer based on availability. Like Caroline said, you're not going to get this deal anywhere else. Go to HowieKarsher.com and click on store. Caroline Levitt is going to be with you during Howie's show, so don't go anywhere.
Can't wait.